Today on Tim and Sid, the Habs continue to wait on Carey Price. Duncan Keith waits to hear how long he'll sit. And Blue Jay fans, the wait is almost over. I'm David Amber.
And I'm Sid Sixero. I didn't want to voice the opening today. Big whoop. Want to fight about it? Tim and Sid starts now.
Hashtag Tim and Sid. Of course, I go by the name of the kid. Famous. Wow. This here is the Tim and Sid show. You are now tuned in, coast to coast, entertaining the masses. Sports entertainment. Yeah. It's about to get started. Sit back, enjoy the show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go.
Oh, hello, April. It's good to see you, April. April means baseball season, NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, the Masters. April, are you the best sports month? You know you are. I'm Sid Sixero. Ladies and gentlemen, a hand, David Amber once again in the place to be.
Good to be here.
Applauso. Tim McAuliffe on vacation, back next week. Welcome, David. This is a fun one.
It's good.
Baseball's in the air.
Yeah.
I think that's baseball. Get a hold of us anytime on Twitter, at Tim and Sid, Instagram, Facebook, and sportsnet.ca/Tim. He regrets being here right now. sportsnet.ca/Tim and Sid is how you can get a hold of our stuff. Here's the deal. 90-minute edition of Tim and Sid today will take you right up to the first official Blue Jays Central of 2016. It's baseball.
Finally.
It's been a while.
Long wait.
It's not a real game. Jamie and Zani will get you set for game one of the Blue Jays Red Sox. Two games set at the Big O in Montreal. We have it live tonight on Sportsnet. No flipping. Coming up on this show, we will talk to both Jamie and Greg. Stephen Brunt on No Sleep will join us from Montreal. That's not all. Best-selling author Jonah Carey will be along to take a closer look at the relationship between baseball and the city of Montreal. And we are also planning to speak to the one and only Tim Raines, awesome. The Rock, will awesome. Be joining us here on Tim and Sid. Raines and Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez will be honored prior to tonight's game. They're expecting well over 100,000 people over the next 2 days of the Big O. It will be a happening, to quote the late, great Gorilla Monsoon. So a lot of baseball coming up. We'll also do best of the week, but time is of the essence. We need to catch you up on what's going on right now in the National Hockey League. It is a lead. It is brought to you by Swiss Chalet. Absolutely nothing else is Swiss. And by the way, no April Fool stuff on the show today. I think it's lame and it's played out and people got to stop it because it's stupid. Let's begin with Duncan Keith. Duncan Keith had his hearing today with the National Hockey League, still waiting to find out what he'll get game-wise for the Charlie Coyle incident earlier this week. Blackhawks have 5 games left. There are a lot of people who believe Duncan Keith will get more than 5 games and this will bleed into a first-round series against either St. Louis or Dallas. Mr. Amber, how many games do you think he'll get?
I think he'll get 5. I think those games, although not as meaningful as the playoff games, I think 5 will probably be the amount he gets. Possibly a 6th game, which would be the first game of the postseason. That's like, you know, that counts as more. They weigh those as heavier. It all depends, because he has that history with the Jeff Carter incident from a few years ago.
This is, come on. That's got to get at least 1, maybe 2 playoff games.
Well, as Nick Kiprios said, it's just a little bloody nose. It's no big deal.
But unless you're the guy getting it in the face.
Yeah,
Then you might have a different take on that. Oh, I love Kipper.
Yeah, no, the one thing I'll say, though, and he does have the history, and that's the one thing. In fact, he has a twice had history.
Yes.
They're going to be careful how you tread here, because this has playoff implications in mind. If he just misses the 5 games, it's not so bad for the Hawks. This guy played a lot of minutes.
That's a victory for the Chicago Blackhawks.
Played over 60 playoff games in the last three years.
I think he could
use the rest.
Other than Carey Price, I think he is one of the most important hockey players to his team on earth. And if Chicago don't miss him for the postseason, it is huge. He waived his right to an in-person hearing, just so you know. And there are numerous reports saying we should find out before puck drop tonight in Winnipeg what the exact suspension is for Duncan Keith. Blackhawks are in Winnipeg tonight. All right, let's move on. The Montreal Canadiens, they won last night in Tampa. Mm-hmm. We'll get to Tampa in just a second. But looking ahead, they take on the Florida Panthers tomorrow night. And for a second time this week, Carey Price, who hasn't played since November the 25th, was on the ice practicing with his teammates, trying to come back with only 4 games left in the season. After practice, Price spoke to the media.
Definitely would be nice. I've been working this whole time to get back, and that's always been my goal. So, you know, if that happens, that's great. But if it doesn't happen, then, you know, I'll be ready in September regardless. So, I'm just going to keep pushing forward and keep working to get back in there. Right now, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I still have some symptoms, but I also am trying to get my game back too. I haven't faced shots in 3 months.
Did you target a game?
I haven't targeted. Well, I'd like to play tomorrow, but you know, I don't have a set time to come back yet. So, you know, like I said, I'm just every day I come in and see how I feel. I feel like it's more of a day-to-day thing now.
On one hand, great to see him close to coming back. On the other hand, with 4 games to go in the regular season and the Habs being unofficially eliminated from postseason play like 2.5 months ago, why the hell is this happening, Mr. Amber?
Well, it's a good question. Last week I was in Montreal. I saw P.K. Subban, and he's coming back from the neck injury. And he said, yeah, I'm waiting for the doctor's approval. And I said, you know, P.K., why, you know, what's the rush? What's the impetus to come back? And he said, he kind of looked at me like, what are you, an idiot? This is what I do. This is my career, right? I've been working hard to get back healthy. I'm not going to be healthy and say, well, let me just sit. Carey Price has been doing this for 5 months now, 4 months now, right? He wants to get back. I think there's the impetus for him to get back because this is what he does. And I think secondly, bigger picture, is he wants to, you know, kind of clear the path to play at the World Cup of Hockey. And whether he plays or doesn't mean, if he doesn't play, doesn't mean he can't play in the World Cup of Hockey. But him coming back healthy at least gives a little bit of peace of mind to the Canadiens management saying, okay, fine, we're going to let him go play at the World Cup of Hockey. We know he is 100% healthy.
I agree with a lot of what you just said, and you know I respect you a great deal. If he gets injured when he comes back for these 1, 2, 3 games, mm-hmm. 8 people immediately should be fired. I'm sorry. This is crazy to me that a guy this important to your franchise is being yo-yoed like this in meaningless games. Would you do this in the preseason if he was injured to start a year? Of course you wouldn't do this. What are you doing now? It's equivalent to the same thing. I don't know what's going on, but I do. I understand
if
what you're telling
healthy.
Me.
I'm if he's healthy. I preface everything with if he's he healthy. Being healthy. If he comes back before healthy, that'd be crazy.
All right, Leaf fans, prepare to get your minds blown. We have an angry Steven Stamkos alert.
That could be good.
You know what that means. Speaking of the Canadians, this is good. Last night, the Habs go in and shut out Tampa. The Tampa Bay Lightning, who right now are fighting for top spot in their division with Florida. Tampa Bay last night at home had 3 shots on goal. Not 4, not 5, 3. And after the game, let's just say Mr. Stamkos, soon-to-be free agent Steven Stamkos, was pissed.
We just had too many passengers tonight. We're at a point in the season where that can't happen. That's not acceptable. So there's no excuses here. I mean, it's look yourself in the mirror time. If you're not giving the effort, then you're letting your teammates down. And that, like I said, that's not acceptable at this time.
Yeah, they got to hold themselves accountable a little bit here. And it was just a little bit of a concern that we had 3 shots on goal in the third period. I mean, that just can't happen. Not if you're pushing to make the playoffs and want to have any success in the playoffs. You can't do that.
A free agent the likes of Steven Stamkos being annoyed this late in the year makes my heart warm inside my body, deep in the cockles of my heart. Anything to that long term, or is that just a guy giving his team a wake-up call here with the postseason 9 days away?
Listen, if you're a Leafs fan, you're rooting squarely against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the postseason.
Correct.
You want them swept. You want them swept. You want a really bitter, lingering taste, the way Raptors fans can relate to, where you're just swept out of the playoffs and you're almost in shock. And that's the sort of path that maybe it's going to take for Steven Stamkos to leave Florida and end up in a place like Toronto. But, you know, it's been a frustrating year for him. You know, no one has scored more goals since 2010 than
Correct.
Steven Stamkos.
Correct.
But he still feels, you know, maybe this isn't the right role at times. Maybe I don't get enough ice time at times. Maybe I'm not being used exactly how I want to be used. You've, you know, sort of sensed that from him over the last year and a half. You've talked to Glenn Healy, and Glenn's pointed that out on numerous occasions. So maybe there's something to keep an eye on here.
Again, Stamkos, free agent after the season. Mm. Stay tuned. I'm sure no one will write a story about it in Canada at all between now and July 1st. The Toronto Raptors, we need to give you this update. Sportsnet 1 the next 2 nights is where you can watch the Raptors. Raptors in Memphis this evening. Raptors taking on San Antonio tomorrow night. Should mention, because I didn't get a chance to bring it up, and thanks to Ivanka Osmak for covering for me yesterday, congratulations to the Toronto Raptors who managed to do this for the first time in franchise history. The Popeye Jones teams never did this. The Hoffa Rougeau teams never did this. The Andrea Bargnani teams, that's Civ. never did this. But now the Raptors are a 50-win team, so congratulations. What that means long-term, I don't know. But the Raptors take on Memphis tonight and the Spurs tomorrow. I will mention this. I know Kyle's numbers weren't terrible the other night with the elbow that he's nursing. He was 4 of 19 from the floor, right? Now, he's doing a lot of other things great, but I still think resting this young man now is probably still a good idea. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, no, I agree. And their final three games, just so you know, and by the way, they wrapped up a third straight division, something they'd never done before. The 50 wins, the three straight divisions.
Third straight division.
Impressive.
They had it wrapped up in January. Going to get excited about a division.
Well, hold on. But their last three games, you talk about resting Kyle Lowry. Brooklyn, New York Knicks, and Philadelphia. So you're going to have that opportunity in that last week against three teams clearly looking towards the draft lottery to play very minimal minutes, if at all. So you can have a full week before the playoffs to get chilled.
Well, hopefully he doesn't play. And he's not out there down 19 or up 19 with 5 minutes to go. Again, Raptors tonight, tomorrow on Sportsnet 1. As you take a look at the standings, Raptors 2.5 games back. Cavaliers did win in their last time out. So let's just give the Raptors second in the East. I don't think it's a crazy thing to suggest, but considering they're locked in.
They own the tiebreak, too, with Cleveland. So they just have to finish with the same record as Cleveland. But right now it's looking second. It's looking like they're not going to unseat Cleveland top spot.
That's why he's good. All right, so that's well, we've gone around the world of sports for the most part. From this point on, we got a lot of baseball coming your way. In less than 48 hours, the Jays will kick off the regular season in Tampa. They'll try and reach the postseason for a second straight year. Number two on our list of top 10 Jays moments of that unforgettable 2015 include the drought finally being broken.
So John Gibbons and his Blue Jays are into the postseason. That snaps a 22-year drought, the longest in professional sports.
We still have goals in mind right now, and this is nice to enjoy for the moment.
It's been a long time for this franchise to get to the postseason. It's worth some sort of celebration.
Have you ever experienced a party like this before?
Bush party. Bush party tonight.
We want to win the division, and that's still the goal.
You think you're wet now? Wait till we clinch this thing.
There it is. Strike three, and the Blue Jays can't celebrate their first division title in 22 years.
A stream of blue. We're a mass of humanity all wearing Blue Jays blue. Celebrating, jumping upon each other. What a celebration.
1 beer, 2 beers, 3 beers, 4 beers.
Yeah! We don't need a banana.
No.
We need a champagne.
This is as good as it gets right here.
Congratulations to the Blue Jays.
I'm going to miss Kawasaki.
That's some of the most entertaining television I've ever seen in my life. The party in Baltimore. Coming up, we had a Montreal talk to author Jonah Carey and Expos legend Tim Raines, who will be honored tonight along with Pedro Martinez in front of like 50,000 baseball fans in Montreal. A lot of baseball heading your way. This is Tim, Sid, and Dave. Thanks, Martin. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. John Gibbons is chatting with David Price. What betrayal is this? Actually, I think they got along pretty well. Blue Jay Central live from the Big O coming up in just over an hour here on Sportsnet. Of course, it is the Red Sox and the Jays game one of the two-game series. The season begins Sunday in Tampa live on Sportsnet. Don't you dare miss it. It will be another full house, something we didn't see often in the last few years of the Expo's existence, but it's clear the fan base is there. And one day, they may again have a team to call their own. Best-selling author and sports writer Jonah Carey is well known for his love of Expo and wrote this for us on baseball back potentially in his hometown.
It's been 12 years since the Expos played their last game in Montreal. For a while, it seemed that nobody remembered and nobody cared. Now, everything is different. When the Toronto Blue Jays and Boston Red Sox take the field tonight in Montreal, it will mark the third straight season that fans have packed the Big O for mere exhibition games. In year one, the two games drew more than 96,000 fans. In year two, 96,000 plus yet again. This year, more than 106,000 tickets have been sold for the two games. It's going to be loud and rowdy at P9 and Pierre de Coubertin this weekend, and while plenty of Jays and Sox fans will be supplying the noise, the bulk of the cheers, caps, and jerseys will be representing that long-dead franchise, the Expos. People are taking notice. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred has said on multiple occasions that he sees Montreal as a great candidate for a major league club. Behind the scenes, local businesses are huddling in Montreal to find a way to make that happen. What was once a pipe dream now has a ring of possibility. Many obstacles remain, of course. Major League Baseball would need to find a mechanism for baseball to come here. That could be the relocation of a troubled franchise, or a move by MLB to expand to two new markets. The cost could be astronomical. Combine how much it will take to purchase a team with the cost of a new ballpark, and $1.5 billion might be the starting point. But it's a real possibility at some point in the future. And it starts tonight with tens of thousands of fans set to converge on old, rickety Olympic Stadium. So raise a 50 and toast the Kid, the Hawk, Rock, Vladdy, Pedro, Le Grand Orange, and Yuppie. For this weekend, baseball is back in Montreal.
Jonah, thank you very much. I will raise a 50 whenever I have a chance, or say called.
A Laurentide, yes.
We're momentarily, Jonah Carey and Tim Raines will be joining us here on Tim and Sid from the Big O. Your emotions watching this now for a third straight year, and the first year it happened, people were like, whoa. Last year was another level, and this year from the ticket sales, as Jonah said, 106,000 expected. This isn't dying down anytime soon, is it, Dave?
No, there's an appetite for baseball in Montreal. That's pretty clear. A two-game sample is not an 81-game sample. However, I actually remember back in 93 going to some games when I was a student in Montreal, and it was the whole Pirates taking on the Expos, and there weren't a lot of fans in the ballpark back then. And I'm interested to ask Tim Raines maybe how the fever has caught on, because sometimes, as they say, what absence makes the heart grow fonder, and I think there is now that appetite. A new ballpark would mean everything, though, to getting a team there.
Game one, Red Sox, Jays tonight on Sportsnet. And now a bit of the discussion, considering the Jays open up on Sunday in Tampa, was what kind of a Jays team will we see tonight and tomorrow? Let's focus on tonight. Here's what we can tell you, and those who paid to go to the Big O, Edwin Encarnacion aside, because he hasn't played this spring, will not be disappointed. Batting leadoff, your center fielder, Kevin Pillar. Number two, reigning American League MVP, Josh Donaldson. Number three, soon-to-be free agent, Jose Bautista. Number four, first full season for Troy Tulowitzki in the city of Toronto. Number five, Chris Colabello, one of the best feel-good stories of this team a year ago. Number six, his knee held up, Michael Saunders will be in left field, followed by Martin, Smoke, and Goins. And on the Red Sox side as well, it's basically a full lineup tonight. John Gibbons didn't say who would pitch tomorrow, but did say the starters would go in the lineup, one, maybe two at-bats for those who have tickets for Saturday afternoon. All right, let's go to Montreal, where Tim Raines is standing by. I don't get to say that every day. Tim Raines and Jonah Carey, two of our favorites. Gentlemen, can you hear us? How you doing?
Yes, I can hear you.
It's loud, but we can hear you.
All right, Jonah, with respect, and I know you won't have an issue with this, I want to talk to Tim Raines first. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that's all right. Future Hall of Famer goes first.
Mr. Raines, welcome to the show. We've talked to you previously. I know the scene behind you will fill out considerably over the next 90 minutes or so, but tell us what your emotions are like for a very unique weekend like this.
Well, I can tell you it's starting to get loud here. They're starting to let the fans in, and that's only a portion of what it's going to be like probably in the next hour and a half. It's kind of what I've been used to, you know, the years that I spent here all through the 80s and coming back in 01. These fans really, really love the game. They love to see great baseball, and for these next 2 days, they're going to have, you know, I think they're going to have a lot of fun.
Tim, it is the ultimate tease. Expos fans would love to get their own team back in Montreal. If the commissioner's office were to approach you and do their due diligence before suggesting a team go to Montreal, what would you tell them about Montreal as an MLB market?
I tell you, you know, spending the 80s here and coming back in 01 before, you know, maybe the collapse in 04, I think we proved for the first, you know, 10 years of my career that we're among the top as far as attendance were concerned. I think we averaged over 2 million fans a year throughout that time period. And if that's not enough to prove that it's a major league franchise, I don't know what is.
Jonah, and I'll say this for the people at home watching Blue Jays Central, the moment where Tim and Pedro Martinez will be honored tonight, we're looking at around 6:40 to 6:45 Eastern. You will be able to see that live on Blue Jays Central. Jonah, I'll ask you this because I think Tim might be a little humble with this. What kind of a moment is that going to be, do you think?
Well, it's going to be tremendous. I mean, you're talking about two guys from the two glory eras, really. When you talk about the early 80s teams, that was Tim, that was his rookie year in 81, the only time they ever made the playoffs. And, you know, throughout the 80s, just a force. Number one in wins above replacement among all National League players during the 1980s, by the way, was Tim Raines, the best player in the National League. And then you go to Pedro Martinez. You know, Pedro just, not only was he really good, but we just loved him from the get-go. Just so much swagger. This guy comes in, his first start in Olympic Stadium, he throws 7 perfect innings. He's head-hunting. He's 146 pounds with Jerry curls. I mean, how could you not love this guy? So, really, just not only two phenomenal players, but just two of the most likable guys. Range just electric talent, so fast and so fun to watch. And then the same with Pedro. It's one thing if you put up numbers. It's another thing if you just captivate fans. Both of these guys did.
Jonah, before we brought you guys on, we actually ran a nice essay that you wrote about the sense that Montreal could get its very own team. Where do you see the traction here? Where do you see the movement, you know, in its stages right now as far as getting a team back to Montreal?
Well, I mean, 106,000 people showing up to the ballpark's pretty good for starters. Mm-hmm. You know, there's definitely Jays fans and Red Sox fans here, but predominantly it's going to be Expos fans. It has been the last two seasons. You can see I'm dressed very professionally for this hit right now. I don't show up in a suit. I show up like this with my other fellow Expos fans. Timmy's looking at me like, you know, we're pals. Like, we know each other.
That's
but he's
right.
Like, this is weird. He's going on TV. He's wearing the shirt with my name on it. Anyway, but no, it's been a lot of support. It's been great. And ultimately what needs to happen is, to me, the fans have been here pretty much all along until the end when the well was poisoned. The idea here is you need the business support. You need local ownership. You need local sponsorship. You need all of those things. That was the big problem with the team after Charles Bronfman pretty much for the last 10, 15 years. They have to get that fixed if something is going to happen. And there are things happening behind the scenes that lead you to believe that maybe not today or tomorrow, but at some point it could happen.
Tim, I know it's a difficult question for anyone to answer, but do you believe in the next 10 years there will be an MLB team back in that market?
Well, you know, if you ask me, I'd say yes. You know, I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but, you know, there are fans here. There are, you know, people that love the game here. And, you know, it's unfortunate they lost the franchise in 04. But I feel like if you get the right people in line, the fans are here. The right people in line outside of the fans, it'll continue to be the way it used to be. Fans coming out to the ballpark, cheering and having a great time at the ballpark.
And Tim, if you get invited to Cooperstown, we know you're going to be donning the Expos cap, which would be a big moment for Canadian baseball. Have you talked to guys about what that moment might be like, knowing it's gone to the sort of the final step for you? I know Jim Rice got in his final opportunity. Have you spoken to Jim at all about what that lead up might be like?
No, I haven't. I'm trying not to think about it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those situations I've been going through the grind for the last 9 years, and it was a great year for me last year. I know a lot of people probably think that I was upset that I didn't get in, but I knew it was going to be a stretch if that would have happened. But I was prepared, you know, not to get the call. If I would have gotten the call, I would have been probably the most surprised person in the world. But, you know, this year is probably going to be the year that I start thinking about it a lot more than I have in the past. I mean, this is closest I've ever been. You know, I'm 23 votes away from actually being a part of the Hall of Fame. So I'm tasting it, but I mean, it's a long ways away. Like I said, over the past few years, I never really thought about it until the time came where they say it's time to vote, and then I started thinking about it. But this year, it's a little different. It's my last year, and I'm that close to getting in, so maybe I'll start thinking about a speech. I don't know, but I'm getting to that point. But I hadn't quite gotten there yet.
Along those lines, fellas, if I may,
go ahead.
I actually, if you don't mind, allow me a 15-second indulgence. I'm friendly with the mayor of Cooperstown, New York. He's actually in town this weekend. He's a huge baseball guy. Terrific. He's a three-term mayor. He just got reelected, and he came down. He was giving out these little things, and he has these pins from the town of Cooperstown. It says Cooperstown 2006. It's very nice, and as a token of goodwill and hopefully for next year, for a little bit of good luck, I'm presenting this to you, Mr. Raines.
All right.
Wow.
And hopefully that will be the prelude to the party to end all parties for Montrealers in the summer of 2017.
I'll tell you what, I'm gonna have this in my pocket every day until.
There you go.
Right. Nice. And if it doesn't happen, we can just blame Jonah.
Oh, come on.
No, I would never blame him. That's the one thing I would never blame him. Actually, he's been the biggest supporter of myself. And, I only have praise for this guy. So,
Raines30.com if you want to see the complete case for Tim Raines' Hall of Fame advocacy. There have been many man hours spent on it. And the man, aside from my bias, the man reached base more times than Tony Gwynn, Hannes Wagner, or Roberto Clemente. That's before we count the fact that he has 808 stolen bases with the highest success rate of all time. So vote for the guy for the Hall of Fame. This is nuts already.
Tim, this is an important moment coming up. Not just for you, what he said. Tim, you realize that if you don't get in, the man to your right is going to hurt someone.
Oh, yeah. It's going to get ugly.
I think he's probably going to hurt as much as I'm going to hurt. So, hopefully the sports writer get it right this time.
Well, listen, Tim, you've done everything you can do. It's out of everyone's hands. We wish you nothing but the best. As a current Hall of Famer in Pedro and hopefully a future one in yourself, get honored before this game. Again, we're looking at about 6:40 or 6:45 p.m. Eastern on Blue Jay Central. Jonah, amazing stuff as always. Thanks for this. And Tim, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, take care, guys.
Jonah Carey, Tim Raines joining us from our perch. That's where Blue Jay Central will happen with Zani and Jamie coming up momentarily. I think it's going to happen. I think Tim's getting it.
When you make that jump to 69%, he says he needs 23 voters. Yeah. I think he's right on that precipice. And that's when baseball was at its best. Vince Coleman, Ricky Henderson, Tim Raines ran the bases like no one else. It was a fun time.
That's going to be quite a moment with Pedro Martinez and Tim Raines walking out there. Because last year it was with Russell Martin and his dad, and it's an unforgettable moment with the national anthem. And then his dad took him out of the game. It was these little mini-series, and you can see them live on Sportsnet the next few days. Something great happens. You never know where it's coming from. I think we know that one's coming tonight. Still to come, it's Friday, which means we've been compiling the best/weirdest videos of the week. It's called Best of the Week. And up next, we head back to the Big O, where Stephen Brunt will join us to regale with tales of Montreal, at least those he can tell on television. We'll continue to preview a big night and a weekend ahead for the Jays. Final two preseason games tonight and tomorrow. The real stuff is Sunday. What a weekend this is going to be.
Spent most of my childhood in the Montreal area.
My full name is Russell Nathan Coltrane Jeanson Martin.
Le numéro 55, le receveur. Number 55, the catcher, Russell Martin!
Incredible. Beautiful moment. Gonna remember it forever.
That's my boy.
That was last year in Montreal for this two-game set. Who knows what we're gonna see this weekend? David Amber sits at Cerro, Tim McAuliffe on vacation. He's back next week. Blue Jay Central in less than an hour. We'll have the Red Sox and Jays tonight live on Sportsnet. Tomorrow afternoon on Sportsnet. The season opener, Rays Jays. Now, just days away, Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Let's give you more ambiance. Let's set the scene here in Montreal. Friend of the show, Stephen Brunt, and a man who I am not avoiding. I know the rumors started after I called in sick. Stephen, you are a champion. I love you beyond words. Good to see you. How you doing?
Good to see you. Good to hear you fit as a fiddle.
I'm fit as a fiddle. Let me tell you, before we dive into Montreal,
Here's Iron Man's Day, a.k.a. Stephen Brunt. Breakfast television in the city of Toronto. It's breakfast television, which means it's early. He did the Jeff Blair show earlier today. Flew to Montreal, sat in that chair, and is now joining us. Applauso. Applauso, Stephen Brunt.
Well done.
Applauso, Stephen Brunt. Outstanding stuff.
Hey. Thank you. Now, my work is nearly done here, so this is it for me, and I'm not sure. I'm in this big city, Montreal. I have no idea what I'm going to do with myself.
Oh, I know. We'll probably just lock yourself in your hotel as usual and play solitaire. Isn't that
nothing to do in Montreal?
What you normally do in Montreal, Steve?
What's the atmosphere like? You already feel it built. We just talked to Tim Raines, and it seems like it's already building there.
Yeah, you know, it is. The big difference this year so far, and again, I haven't been here a huge amount of time, but I've been here the last 2 years for these. The big difference is all the Red Sox fans. We're not that far from Boston here. It's an easy drive, just like it's the same drive as it is to Toronto, essentially. And, you know, when the Bruins come in here and play the Canadians, there's always a ton of Boston people. Well, there's a lot of Red Sox fans here, so it's not going to be quite the Expos / Blue Jays love-in that it is has been the other 2 years. We're going to have another contingent in this building, and they're going to be loud.
Stephen, what aspect of tonight, tomorrow afternoon, do you think will be the fact that this Jays team has done some fantastic things and the fan base expects?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the neat things about this series, if you can, you know, we're 3 years in, but, you know, people embrace the idea of these games and embrace the Blue Jays. You know, it was after the big trade, the Marlins deal, and certainly there was a lot of hope in the air, but it's not like the Blue Jays had been a winning team for the last couple of decades. So people were willing to jump in with 2 feet and embrace the Blue Jays being here, embrace baseball being here. And again, a lot of that had to do with the Expos, and a lot of it maybe was about sending a message about the future of baseball in Montreal. But, you know, right from the get-go. But now you've got a team coming in here that won the American League East last year, that won the division series, that was within a hair of winning the American League. All those great moments, some of them featuring homeboy Russell Martin. So, you know, a lot of things have kind of built into this that, you know, weren't part of it 2 years ago.
Stephen, listen, locally we know how excited the fan base is for the season to get going in Toronto. You've been around the team for so many years. It's not just in Toronto, though. I mean, there's a handful of ESPN insiders who are also picking the Jays to win the World Series. If you were to, you know, pick a problem, maybe something to be concerned about with this Jays team, is there one that stands out to you going into this year?
Yeah, there's a couple. Like, everybody's got a weakness, right? And if Russell Martin gets hurt, I'm not sure who's going to catch. That would be one. I think you can look at the pitching rotation and say, you know, once you get past Marcus Stroman, even Marcus Stroman's a really young guy who hasn't had a ton of experience, you're not totally sure what you're going to get, except from Ari Dickey. You know you're going to get 200 innings. You know he's going to pitch to about a 4 ERA. That's what he does. But there are some unknowns in that rotation. Some of the guys in the bullpen who are not named Roberto Osuna and you kind of wonder maybe what you're going to get there, but look, everybody's got questions, right? You know, everybody's got those kind of questions, and I think picking the Jays to win the division at least is a pretty logical pick. You know, that doesn't mean it's going to happen. Things can go wrong. People can get hurt. Things can go in directions we don't expect. But I think based on the team that they're going to put on the field and the way the team played last year, yeah, it makes sense.
Stephen, the other side of the next 2 days are the Boston Red Sox, obviously a division rival. This is the team that's finished dead last in this division 2 out of the previous 3 years, and they've just begun their season by telling a $95 million third baseman, you're too fat to start the year. What kind of a campaign is this going to be for Farrell and company?
You know, it's interesting. Blair and I were talking about this morning because a lot of people, if you ask people on February the 1st who's going to win the American League East, I think a lot of those people who picked the Jays would have picked the Boston Red Sox. They were the sexy pick over the winter. They brought in David Price. They traded for Kimbrel. You know, so they stacked their bullpen like everybody's stacking their bullpens. They've got a lot of good young players who are just kind of starting to approach their peak. They've got power. They do a lot of things really well, and they were a very sexy pick. But, you know, by the end of the spring, you know, I think people started to take a closer look at the back end of that rotation beyond David Price. They saw guys like Rick Porcello still struggling. And the Sandoval thing, you know, I don't buy in too much to the it'll be a terrible distraction that'll wreck their year. But, you know, the fact is, if he's the 25th man on your roster and he's sitting on the end of that bench, people are going to notice. And it's not going to be easy to move him. Literally and figuratively, right? Now, the people talk about James Shields, maybe a James Shields deal with, yeah, thank you. People talk to, like, a, you know, bad contract for bad contract, James Shields in San Diego. But, you know, barring something like that, you're going to have a guy sitting there who I don't think he's going to get more fit sitting on the end of the bench. And, you know, you got to remember, you know, John Farrell's under a lot of pressure this year. John Farrell won a World Series not that long ago, but he has presided over two last place teams. So, you know, I don't think that's an option for a third year in Boston. I think there's pressure on the organization.
What would you say is the number one storyline for the Jays and their fan base heading into this season, Stephen?
I guess, you know, continuity. You know, everybody knows where we left off. In Game 6 against the Kansas City Royals, it was a close, exciting series, but they weren't good enough to beat the Royals. Nobody was good enough to beat the Royals. But, I think it's picking up where they left off. I think age is a bit of an issue with this roster. It is an older team at its core. I think Mark Shapiro is very aware of that. So it's not like it's the last kick of the can, but, you know, it's probably the last kick of the can as a Blue Jay for Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, barring something I don't expect. You know, this team's going to look very different. So I guess the storyline is, you know, a one-year window for this group doesn't mean that next year they won't be competitive in a different configuration, but a one-year configuration for the group that got people really excited last year and seeing if they can go two steps farther.
Monsieur Brunt, merci. That's French.
Sort of.
Enjoy it, Steve.
Thanks. Always a pleasure, guys.
Steve wins every time.
Yeah, you got you there.
Every time. By the Pablo Sandoval thing, a lot of people in baseball say Sandoval is one of those guys, and Travis Shaw will start the season at third base. Sandoval is one of those guys who stays in shape by actually playing. If he's not playing, like, does he turn into a TLC show? Right? Does he become like a different type of? Because like San Francisco, they love you out there, and it's funny that you're fatter.
That's his exercise.
His,
I play baseball. Yeah. To work out.
But in San Francisco, it's endearing to that fan base. You go to Boston, you're not in shape. But why doesn't play in Boston like it does in San Francisco?
Why is everyone so absolute about it? There's 162 games. He could be on the bench for 12 games, and Travis Shaw might not produce.
It's just funny.
And then he could be.
It's just funny that a $95 million guy just can't say no to an ice cream sandwich.
He wasn't
like,
Slim Jim. He wasn't Slim Jim in San Francisco
no, he
either.
Wasn't.
So.
You're right. They knew what they were getting.
Yeah.
Coming up, we continue to get you set for the Jays and Red Sox as we bring in Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn from the Big O. And up next, best of the week time. And I have a feeling Ivanka Osmak's feet will make an appearance. We'll put our best foot forward. Yes. We'll keep 2 feet on the ground after the break. I am not a foot guy. I'll explain after this. I'm serious. Get away from me. Thanks, Martine. It is now time for Best of the Week. And Best of the Week now has a sponsor, brought to you by Cub Cadet's new XT2 Enduro Series. Find your local dealer, cubcadet.ca. Hopefully I don't completely screw this up and they drop the sponsorship next week. Here's the best of the week. At Tim and Sid, Facebook vote. We'll announce the winner in about 30 minutes from now. Ivanka Osmak yesterday attempted to fill my shoes right about there. At some point in the show, she didn't want to fill anyone's shoes and wanted to just let it breathe.
Speaking of cleat marks, I've already ditched mine.
Yeah, relax. Make yourself at home. Coming back.
I'm just getting nice and comfortable. Who knows when they're going to be better? He thinks he was sick today. Wait till he gets a smell in my shoes.
Let me tell you something, Ivanka. This room smells like Ken Reed and avocado. And I'm not having this.
Oh, God.
Not having this. It smells like pure Sportsnet Central foot in here. It's terrible.
No one else wanted
to say anything because Ivanka's the best. I'll say it. It smells like foot in here.
The same stuff he uses on his hair. So.
All right. The Wes McCauley call of the good. We're both like poison after that. I'm sorry. Tell my family I love them. Wes McCauley's goal call after the late in the King Sharks game made waves. It was as dramatic a goal call as you're going to see in the National Hockey League. And NBC had some fun with it. Take a look.
After reviewing the play, the call on the ice stands. We got a goal!
All right, so that's their version. The guys in this building did a Tim and Sid version. Goes like this.
After reviewing the play, the call on the ice stands. We got a goal! We got a goal!
My eyes look fat in that.
That was extreme.
Which version do you like better, Dave? Which version do you like better?
I'm high right now on whatever the heck
you
were spraying.
Sorry, I'm poisoned. Yeah. Look at the sun. That's a fat
good
eye
God.
Right there.
There goes the sponsorship, by the way.
Let's not scare some people having dinner right now. Let's not scare them. All right, a comedy troupe named Studio C have done a series of sports skits, sports specialized skits.
Okay.
This one crossed our desk this week. It's concerning the sport of volleyball and an athlete named Scott Sterling, who was one of the best blockers in volleyball history, but he did it with a piece of his body that is rather sensitive. And no, I'm not talking about here now that I talk it through. I thought this was hilarious. Take a look.
Yale has come back from the brink and is looking to put this one into the history books.
That's point for Yale.
Carolina finally pushed one through Sterling. Brown, Sterling!
Did you see that?
Here comes a spike straight to the man!
The man! The legend!
His teammates help him to his feet.
No!
They raise him everywhere.
Wonder of the world!
The Great Wall of Sterling!
I'll tell you one thing, when Armageddon comes, I want to be in a bunker made of that man's face!
That was tremendous.
There's nothing funnier than a ball to the face. shout out Studio C, that was good. That's the clubhouse leader from the feel of it in here. Alright, college basketball dunk-off, Mississippi State's Craig Sword takes on an athlete a mascot dressed as a pancake. The idea came from a good place. The execution's a little. Take a look.
It's a pancake down here, and it's a sword going in. That could be a bad, bad combination.
Are we jumping over a pancake? He doesn't even know where he's at on the floor.
Yeah. Whoa! And down goes the pancake. Yeah. He's been pancaked. Hey, oh, they're going to let him have one here. Oh, whoa! Pancaked again. Down goes the flapjack.
You can't take a charge. A pancake cannot take a charge.
Oh, my God.
Oh, look at that. What are we watching?
Well, that fell flat.
I wonder what happened to Frederick Weiss. Now we know.
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Oh, Vince Carter would have done that. Yeah. He would have completely skied it. Yeah. Munenori Kawasaki, who was released and signed to a minor league deal. He's still a member of the Cubs, technically. He had that great sing-along to Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Yeah.
Eighth inning spring training game this week against Oakland. Mooney steps up to the plate. Fans chanting his name. Mooney. And it's deep. And it's high. And Kawasaki with a three-run homer. Tosses the bat. That's the game-winning home run. And we get mad silent treatment back in the dugout as Munenori Kawasaki is ignored, but eventually gets swarmed by teammates. This likely won't win, but anytime Kawasaki does anything, we try and give it to you here on Tim and Sid. All right, who wants to see a 78-year-old woman deadlift 225? You want to see it? Vinny, you want to see it?
These guys want to see
it. Roll it. Here's the video. For the record, I bet I do that every day. Her name is It Doesn't Matter, from East Alton, Illinois. Yep.
Oh, my another. God. I'm waiting for every
dedicate
bone
this one
in
to,
her body
this one's
to
dedicated
break
to Lawrence
here.
Welk.
Wow.
So for some post-game clips, we went to Flossie Dickey, a favorite here at Tim, and said, Flossie Dickey, did you like that?
Not one bit.
Just in a mood, Flossie Dickey. She's also 110, I'll leave it at that. Remember, vote for your favorite on Twitter, at Tim and Sid, and Facebook.com/Tim and Sid. Winner coming up in just a few moments here on Tim and Sid. He's David Amber. I'm Sid Sixera. Mikal's back from vacay next week. A lot of baseball coming up. Sheepdogs, please do the thing that you do.
Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid. Time for Tim and Sid.
Oh, yeah. It's time for real sports talk with Tim McAuliffe and Sid Sexero.
I think the volleyball thing's going to win.
That was one of the best things I've seen in a while.
That's not bad, right?
Yeah, that was good.
And that was just like the apex of it. There was another 3 minutes beforehand. Shout out to Studio C. Time for News to Know. Since Xero, David Amber. We start with where else? Toronto Blue Jays. Tonight they are in Montreal. Jamie Campbell and Zani will join us in just a few moments to get you ready for what should be another great weekend against the Red Sox, right into the season opener on Sunday in Tampa. With another 100,000 fans expected for the two games, the buzz is certainly back in Montreal again, something native son Russell Martin hopes one day leads to a major league team back in that city.
I feel like it would be nice if Montreal had an American League team to kind of rival Toronto's team. I think it would be good for baseball. It definitely would make sense, in the division, to have that extra rivalry right there. But I definitely feel like, the city's ready for a baseball team, and I think it's just a matter of time, hopefully.
Here is the lineup for the Jays tonight. Looks like the regular season lineup minus Edwin Encarnacion, who should be good for opening day Sunday in Tampa. J-Hap will start on the mound this evening. Fans in Montreal will get a glimpse of the Jays' star players this weekend. But as John Gibbons reminded reporters, playing time for the starters tomorrow eventually will have to be brief with a game on Sunday.
They won't be in there long, unfortunately. We left all our relievers, all our pitchers really except Hap. Into pair down there because you want them having a couple days off before you start the season on Sunday. So, but they'll all at least get one at bat, and hopefully two maybe, and then that'll be it. So I will be the bad guy.
Are you going to pitch kind of by committee tomorrow then?
We're not sure who will start that game. I mean, you'll see a lot of them. So, but it'll be a good experience for those young guys.
All right, to the NBA, Raptors clinched their third consecutive Atlantic Division title last night. When Boston lost, I know it's a thing. We knew this in November they were going to win. With just 8 games remaining on the regular season schedule, the Raptors sit 2.5 back of Cleveland for first in the East. And tonight, they take on the Grizzlies in a game you can see on Sportsnet 1. Pregame starts at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Eric Smith is in Memphis, and he has a beard.
Sid, the Raptors getting set to face the Grizzlies, and Memphis has struggled of late, going 2-8 over their last 10 ball games and losing 4 in a row as they get set for tonight's tilt as well. Meanwhile, on the flip side for the Raptors, it's more positive news. Of course, picking up win number 50 the other night and wrapping up the Atlantic Division title as well with Boston's loss last night against the Portland Trailblazers. And the good news continues, I guess, for the Raptors. Not only did Terrence Ross return last game, but Luis Scola, who was out resting a bit of a sore left knee, is expected to play in the ball game tonight as well. Also, quickly, I had a chance to speak to Vince Carter earlier today after the Grizzlies morning shoot-around, and Vince was saying he's really impressed with what the Raptors have done. He actually looked back to his time and his era with the Raptors and was surprised to hear that they didn't win 50, and he gave a nod to the Raptors, not only picking up that 50th win, but also hopefully carrying some momentum to the postseason, as Vince knows that right now, his era, his little moment in time, is still the one that stands out the most for a lot of Raptor fans, as it was the only squad to actually win a round in the playoffs. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Eric. How about some NHL news for you? Duncan Keith waived his right to an in-person meeting. He opted instead for a phone call to address that slash to the face of Charlie Coyle of the Wild. The meeting took place at 4 Eastern. Click on to sportsnet.ca for the very latest. He's going to get some games. 5, 6, 7. We will find out.
Other news, Toronto Maple Leafs forward Nazem Kadri was fined $3,000 for his third diving citation of the season. We love our diving citations here at Tim and Sid. It happened against the Flames March 21st. Getting fined for diving is an embarrassing diving story in and of itself, but not the most embarrassing diving story we've come across over the last 12 months. Remember this?
Oh! That's going to leave a mark.
That didn't go well. If only we had another one. Oh.
Oh, wow.
What's he thinking right there? I wonder.
Why am I doing this?
This guy's going to nail it. Watch this. This is, if you don't like this, you don't like diving.
Oh, man.
Wow. The Russian judge gave him a perfect score.
Yeah.
All right, low fives.
We're alive.
Nailed it.
Back to the ice we go, and Carey Price is back on the ice for a second straight day. He hasn't played since November. He has not yet regained full range of motion. He hopes to make it back sometime in the final 4 games for the Montreal Canadiens. And he also, of course, hopes to play at the World Cup in September. You can catch that on the Sportsnet family of networks. We will find out his status coming up.
definitely would be nice. You know, I've been working this whole time to get back, and that's always been my goal. So, you know, if that happens, that's great. But if it doesn't happen, then, you know, I'll be ready in September regardless. So I'm just going to keep pushing forward and keep working to get back in there. Right now, I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I still have some symptoms, but I also am trying to get my game back, too. I haven't faced shots in 3 months.
Did you target a game?
I haven't targeted. Well, I'd like to play tomorrow, but you know, I don't have a set time to come back yet. So, you know, like I said, I'm just every day I come in and see how I feel. I feel like it's more of a day-to-day thing now.
In other Habs news, Brendan Gallagher will be back in the lineup on Saturday when the Habs take on the Panthers. Gallagher's been out since March 5th after suffering a lower body injury against the Jets. He's expected to join Alex Galchenyuk and Max Pacioretty on the Habs' top line. To basketball, Kentucky guard and Kitchener, Ontario native Jamal Murray, surprise, surprise, declared for the NBA draft this afternoon in an at times emotional news conference down south. Murray averaged 20 points per game for Kentucky this season, highest scoring average for any Kentucky player under head coach John Calipari.
Wow.
Earlier today at his press conference, he was asked if he's a Raptors fan.
I'm an every team fan. I just want to get there. I don't care who I go to. But yeah, obviously, you know, Raptors, you know, my hometown, not hometown, but, you know, close enough. You know, the only Canadian team in the league, so. No, it'll be a blessing to play there.
Life is a crazy thing sometimes, you know, when you set goals and when you put the effort in and the sacrifice you have to make as a family and the sacrifice you have to make to yourself to reach your goal is not an easy thing, but it's very rewarding in the end. So. Looking at him right now.
Nice. It was nice.
It was a nice
kids
moment.
Worked hard. The families worked hard. Yeah, the Raptors aren't getting him, just so you know.
Yeah, he's going all the.
He's going higher than where the Raptors
all the mock drafts have him going in the top five, and he could be one of the great, and a lot of people say he might be the greatest Canadian player when all is said and done, with all due respect to Andrew Wiggins and what Steve Nash has done, because he's got that much potential.
No freshman in SEC history did what he did this year. Now, SEC is not the power conference in basketball. I get it's a football conference, but that's saying something as well. All right, let's head back to Montreal. This is fun. Oh, baseball's fun, isn't it? When it's not like really bad spring training highlights that we got to do and act like it's really important on March 18th. Zani and Jamie joining us from Montreal. Blue Jay Central starts in about 20 minutes. Boys, good to see you. How you doing?
Doing well and feeling really good about the fact that there's a barrier right here. I'm sure you can see this because that's about a 50-foot drop down there, and if one of us toppled, it's game over before the season even begins, Craig.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about this railing being here, too. especially in lieu of the fact that we'll probably be out on the town later tonight in Montreal.
Ooh, careful. Stay off the Brodeur, guys.
Hey, guys, if you do that, don't go back to that set. Don't go back to
right,
that set.
You'll see us here tomorrow.
There you go. All right, boys. I mean, let's go big picture. It's been a long time since we threw to you guys before a 6:30 show, and it just feels right. How exciting is this?
Well, I can't speak for him, but he will speak momentarily. I am unbelievably excited based on what we saw last year. This is quite clearly one of the best teams in baseball. And you remember 2013 when they constructed that team after trades with the Marlins and the acquisition of R.A. Dickey and said, hey, best team in baseball, and look what happened then. This team proved itself last year to be exceptional, and because very little has changed, I expect them to be exceptional again this year, Greg.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and you hit the nail on the head. Very little's changed. They were a really good club. They're going to have another year under their belt playing together. It's exciting, and I usually I'm not too excited about this time of the year, so I am about this ball club for sure.
Guys, last year, I mean, the Jays led in every significant offensive category. Most runs scored in the majors since 2009, you guys know that. Is there any scenario where their offense is actually more prolific this year?
Better than they were a year ago?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're better on opening day with Troy Tulowitzki at shortstop than they would be with Reyes. So, I mean, right there, you got to add the offense of a normal, healthy Troy Tulowitzki into the mix. That's obviously an upgrade offensively over Reyes.
Yeah, Tulowitzki had some issues with the way the trade went down a year ago, and I think it took him a while to get comfortable as a Blue Jay. I think it took him a while to get comfortable in the American League. And, of course, he ran into Kevin Pillar's chin in New York, and he was gone for 2 weeks and change, so that didn't help any. I think Troy Tulowitzki, who is one of the better players in all of baseball, is probably primed to have a really, really good season because he came into camp feeling oh so comfortable about being part of this organization and really liking the guys that he's playing with. And I think that counts for something in big league baseball.
Definitely.
Guys, there's a lot of hype around this team. Jason Stark of ESPN saying the Jays are his pick to win it all on a lead headline on ESPN.com earlier today. And the pressure is definitely there in terms of expectations. But, guys, it's interesting because in the middle of last year, this was a 500 team. And I think the one aspect of the season ago that we don't talk enough about is that I think they caught some teams cold. I don't think the Yankees expected to see what they saw, and I don't think a lot of teams were prepared for it. That mistake will not happen this year. How do you guys think they will react to that pressure?
Greg?
Well, you know, I talked to Brian Butterfield today down on the field, and he said this is the team to beat in the American League East for sure. They're not going to be sneaking up on anybody. In fact, you look at the offensive numbers that they put up last year. We talked about how they're a little bit better with Tulowitzki. They're deep. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. The division got better. It's going to be tougher to do what they did last year, but I still think they have the ability to do it. They're deeper in the starting rotation. I think they're a little bit more dynamic in the starting rotation going into opening day 2016 than they were a year ago.
And if they choose to reload midseason like they did last year, I don't buy that notion that the cupboard is bare in the minor leagues. They've got some very, very good prospects still with this club. Anthony Alford in the outfield, Connor Green, who was very good in spring training. He's a future member of this rotation. Rowdy Tellez is going to be good. They've got a kid by the name of Justin Maiacy, who I think is 18 years old and throws about 98 miles an hour. He's coming at some point. So if they chose midseason to go out and get a bona fide major league player the way they did last year multiple times, they still have a lot of prospects that they could utilize to do that.
Guys, great stuff. I'll let you go. And if you're out and about town tonight and you're getting a hot dog, say hello to Pablo Sandoval for me.
Greg will, for sure.
No doubt.
Good stuff, boys. We'll be watching. Thanks for this, as always.
It's on my bucket list. Can I give you some horns for that?
Yeah. Oh.
Delayed horns, but
that's,
horns nonetheless.
That's a guy getting comfortable in his surroundings. And I've been waiting for someone to grab the tablet and make it his own this entire time. Again, just to go over the schedule here on Sportsnet. Coming up in 15 minutes, Jamie and Zani have Blue Jay Central into the Red Sox Jays tonight. Tomorrow at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, Jamie and Zani, Blue Jay Central into Game 2 of the Red Sox and the Jays. And then 3 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, hour-long edition of Blue Jay Central going into one of the most heavily anticipated opening days I can remember with this organization, and that's no exaggeration. And I grew up from 85 on. I saw every division winner. I saw every ALCS in 92 and 93. The heat on this team right now is unique, and it's going to be really fun to watch.
You know what's changed from 85, 87, 91, 92, 93? Canada had its fair share as a country of championships. You had those incredible Oiler teams. Yeah. You had those great Calgary teams in hockey, obviously.
Montreal.
The Montreal championships. The last Canadian championship was the 93 Toronto Blue Jays. Think about that when I stay outside the CFL, obviously.
Outside the CFL.
But, I mean, think about that. It has been 23 years since, where you're talking baseball, basketball, or hockey. So here's a country that just has this insatiable appetite for celebrating something, yeah. And I think this is the team people are rallying around, not just in Toronto, but around the country.
And also with those Stanley Cups, Canucks going 7 games with the New York Rangers as well. Like, maybe there weren't all cups for teams, but there were some really fascinating runs.
A bunch of those Stanley Cup almost misses, but it's been a long time since this country can kind of say, outside the Olympics, et cetera, where we can say, hey, it's great. You know, we have the best baseball team. We have the best basketball team. We have the champion in the NHL. Yeah. The country's saying this is the year, this is the team. And as you said, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that.
I think that's a part of last year we haven't given enough credence to. People were not ready for that. They weren't ready for Stroman pitching that way. They weren't ready for the intensity that team had, the togetherness. It's kind of a cheesy term, but I think for those around the team, I think they agree that that was a real team last year by the end of it. And everyone's prepared this year. Tampa's going to be prepared. Yeah. Yankees, Red Sox, no surprises. It all begins for real on Sunday. But tonight's going to be fun, too. It's Last Call coming up. Best of the Week winner. I think we know who won, although I hear it's a close vote. And we get you to Montreal for the Jays and Red Sox and a special ceremony for Tim Raines and Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez. Remene les Expo. Did I say that right?
No.
Awesome.
I tried. Welcome back. A few minutes away from Blue Jay Central. Before we do that, David Amber, as always.
Good to be here.
Applause for David, please.
Always good to be here. Keep that away.
Hold on a second. It's not a reflection on you. Oh, it went in my mouth. It's time to wrap up our top 10 moments from the Jays 2015 season. What's the top moment from last season? Let me guess.
Seventh inning to this point has taken 40 minutes.
What a game, huh? Here's Bautista. Game tied at 3. Seventh inning. Runners at the corners. Two outs. Fly ball deep left field. Yes, and there she goes.
You can only flirt with fire for so long. And it's going to burn you. That was just dirty. That's one of the nastiest bat flips you'll ever see. It almost looked like he was staring into the camera.
Jose needs to calm that down.
I can't really remember what was going through my mind.
Just kind of respect the game a little more.
Batista's a man.
I knew I did something great for the team at the moment of impact because I knew I hit that ball pretty good.
He's got the flair for the dramatic.
What will 2016 have in store? Wowie, wow, wow, wow. Last call here on Tim and Sid, and we'll stick with the bat flip. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred was on ESPN Radio today with Mike and Mike and was asked if he had any problem with Jose's flip. Here's what he said.
If I were a player, I wouldn't do that. The fact of the matter is, what he did not offend me. You know, it was a very, very exciting moment at a point in time of great excitement for that particular franchise when they hadn't been, a great team for a long time. And it's one of those moments that happens, and, you know, it was exciting. People liked it, and probably on balance, it's good for the game.
Very diplomatic answer, and I agree with him.
I like it.
When do you think, Mr. Amber, will see Jose's first bat flip of 2016 in a regular season game?
I was going to say third inning tonight in Montreal, but no, listen, that was straight emotion. People got upset with him. That was straight emotion. You save that. That's something that just, it's a visceral thing that happens, and we're not going to see that on every home run by Jose Bautista this year.
Agreed.
So maybe the postseason, maybe against Darren O'Day of Baltimore, though.
The Rangers are at Rogers Center early May. Don't you dare miss it.
Meanwhile, we got some NBA news as well. The San Antonio Spurs quietly putting together one of the greatest seasons in NBA history. Quite frankly, they could go 41-0 at home. That'd be a perfect record. They got the Raptors tomorrow, then the Warriors, then the Thunder. Based on that schedule, though, Sid, do you think they can do it, 41-0 at home?
I think the Spurs are the real victims of this regular season here because what they're doing is also historic. And the Warriors, that shadow is covering
everyone
else. Mm-hmm. And we are not paying any attention to it. The Spurs are winning the NBA title this year.
Wow.
Spurs are winning the title.
Wow.
Everyone's as fresh as a daisy and they're ready to go. And I think they're going unbeaten at home. Exciting weekend for you, Mr. Amber. His beloved Syracuse Orange. Final Four
Houston's
tomorrow night down in Houston. And the Orange is hoping to crush North Carolina. Dave, what's the sporting event you've never been to that is atop your bucket list of things to do?
Ooh, I'm going to go with the Masters. I'm going to go with the Masters. And it's supposed to be incredible.
Yeah.
Have you been to
I've never been to a Masters. I've been to a Ryder Cup, which was way cool.
Oh, that'd be fun.
George W. Bush Sr. George Bush Sr. almost ran me over with a golf cart. That's a true story. True. I didn't know where Dan Quayle was, but he almost ran me over.
Well, you got to have the bucket list. And there's some other massive sporting events happening this weekend as well. We got WrestleMania 32. You're a big wrestling guy. That's Sunday
partake,
in Dallas.
Partake a
what's
little bit.
What's the headline match there? I don't even know.
Oh, all I know is Shane McMahon is going to like hurt himself viciously and everyone wants to see it.
All right. In England, we've got the West Indies and the T20 Cricket World Cup Final as well. Lionel Messi, Barcelona, Cristiano Ronaldo.
That's
going to be pretty good.
Yep.
That's going to be fun. What are your thoughts there?
El Clasico tomorrow. Barca's going to win handily. Ooh. It's not going to be close. WrestleMania's at AT&T Stadium, home of the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Again, I think Shane McMahon is in a hell in a cell. Everyone's waiting for him to hurt himself. Mm. That's it. So okay. I think he will hurt himself. And the T20 Cricket World Cup Final, the biggest sporting event in the world no one's talking about, I say the West Indies, after a stunner a few days ago against India, beat England tomorrow. Shout out Chris Gayle.
I hope you're right.
And the legend of Brian Lara will live on as the Windies win in India and Kolkata on Sunday.
I hope you're right. My Jamaican mom says
there
yes.
There you go. Shout out Chris Gayle. All right, best of the week. You want to do this? I think it was kind of a strong best of the week. Let's find out who won. Brought to you by Cub Cadet's new XT2 Enduro Series. Find your local dealer at cubcadet.ca. And the winner is...
Yale has come back from the brink and is looking to put this one into the history books.
That's point for Yale.
Carolina finally pushed one through Sterling Brown. Sterling!
Did you see that?
Here comes a spike straight to the man!
The man! The legend!
His teammates help him to his feet. No! They raise him heavenward!
He did it! He scores! He ascended through the air like a defensive angel! The eighth wonder of the world!
The great wall of Sterling!
I'll tell you one thing, when Armageddon comes, I want to be in a bunker made of that man's face!
I love it more each time I see it. Listen, best of luck to your Syracuse Orange
yes.
tomorrow.
Enjoy.
Taking on, it is the late game in the Final Four in Houston. Best of luck to you, and thanks for doing this,
well,
coming in
always
tonight.
Always fun, anytime.
Appreciate
anytime.
It. Tim McAuliffe back from vacation on Monday. You will see Timmy then. Great night on the network, in case you haven't figured it out. NBA doubleheader on Sportsnet 1, Raps Grizz, followed by Warriors, looking for win number 69. I said number, as they host the Celtics. Ken and Ivanka will have Sportsnet Central after the Jays game. Speaking of, we will send you back to Montreal now. A special night for Pedro Martinez and Tim Raines. Next time we talk to you on Tim and Sid, the Jays' regular season will be a game old. Could it be a must-win Monday for the Toronto Blue Jays if they lose Sunday? That might be overdoing it, but we got baseball on the brain. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend.